Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, carrying out energy home upgrades can be a fairly daunting and sometimes expensive process. And you might remember last month we spoke about the Warmer Home scheme where you can access grants for retrofitting your home. Well, today we're going to go through the two other schemes that are available. They aim to make 500,000 homes warmer by 2030. And a new loan scheme was just announced last month that's aimed at helping more households improve their energy rating to lower their bills and their emissions. Well, joining me in studio now, I have Ciarán O'Byrne back with us, Director of the National Retrofit with SEAI, and also Brian McIntyre, who's Programme Manager for High Performance Building Technologies with the SEAI. You're very welcome. Good to see you again. And we're asking people to send in questions, as people have been doing all morning, to 51551. So we're going to discuss the other two schemes today, Ciarán, the ones that we didn't touch on the last time. Will we start with the one-stop shop?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, Claire. And just for your listeners, and good morning to them. We have two other schemes which we put on the CanPay side of the house. The one-stop shop is a scheme where we're encouraging people to do the full energy upgrade in one go. So do all of the energy measures in one go. And the requirements of the scheme is that you must have, you must achieve an end billing energy rating of a B2 and also 100 kilowatt hour uplift in the energy performance. So there's two criteria around that scheme. And then the other scheme to that is called a Better Energy Home scheme for people who want to do individual measures.
All right. So that's if you want to do, if you don't want to disrupt your house too much and maybe you're taking one or two measures and deciding that you'd like to improve your energy rating that way. Now, on the technical side, Brian, that's where you come in on this. Like, the scheme has been up and running now for a couple of years. You have a handle probably now on what is working and what isn't. Where are you finding the log jams in these schemes?
One of the big issues we have across the board is the supply chain, trying to get more people, more plumbers, more tradespeople, more electricians, everyone, because there's such a demand for it. And that's one of the big issues we have. It's just been a pent-up demand that came out of COVID when the programme was launched. So again, yeah, we're just trying, there's such an opportunity there for people with the commitment for of 8 billion from the National Development Plan to get people to retrofit, that there's a huge opportunity there to get people into the workforce. So the supply chain has been an issue, but we're getting more and more people into the supply chain so we get more and more homes done.
Mm-hmm. And is the one-stop shop option proving more popular now, or is it the one-off jobs?
It's starting to take off. Like, it's one of those things where people, if they buy a new house and or they extend a house or renovate a house where they want to do it all in one go, it makes perfect sense to do it then when there's a lot of disruption. We do get people who just have, who live in poorly insulated houses, want to go down that route and do it all in one go, but it suits some people. The other scheme, the individual upgrades, allows people to do get to the same endpoint in a piecemeal basis, so you can do it over time as finances allow.
Because I would imagine the upheaval is one of the big barriers, isn't it? The thoughts of it.
And you can work around that, because a lot of people assume that you have to move out of your house, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to move out. If you're doing external wall insulation, for example, that's all the work is on the outside. Windows aren't a huge amount of disruption. Heating, maybe 2-3 days worth of work. So it's not a massive disruption. If you're getting floors done or if you're getting your walls insulated internally,
that's one where you might have to get out.
Yeah, but they can work around it. Like, if you can't, if you're not in a position to move out, they can certainly work around that.
Can you give us a typical cost of a full retrofit, or does that completely depend on the house?
It can depend on the house. Like, the figures we have from our one-stop shop from last year is that, say, for typical three-bed semi-D, it's going to cost around €60,000 to do the full amount of work. And the net cost then, with the grants taken into account, is about €37,000-38,000 to the homeowner.
So then we have this loan scheme, which has been announced just after you were here the last time, Ciarán, I think. How does that work?
Well, what's going to happen there is that the homeowner will get a one-pager, a home energy upgrade form, that looks at the status of the home before the works are done, and it'll say what work's going to be done. They can then go and apply to the one of the providers at the moment, PTSB, are the first to the market. They will get the loan and go out and engage an SEI registered contractor to do the works in their home, either through the one-stop shop program or through the individual energy upgrades program, and draw down the loan. And it's a couple of really nifty pieces about the loan scheme is that they'll allow you to draw down the loan ahead of time. So in other words, you're not trying to pay up front and get the loan.
Well, that
afterwards
was one of the big problems with this, wasn't it, initially, that people had to find this lump of cash, all of it, and then get the grant back once the work had finished.
Yeah, well, on the one-stop shop scheme, the entire payment is net of grant. Many of the individual upgrades, the contractors will also provide that net of grant, but the loan scheme, once you qualify for the loan scheme, you'll be able to draw down at the start of the process, so you'll be able to pay it out as you go, which is, again, a lot of work was put into kind of talking to people, looking at kind of motivations, understanding pain points along the way when they designed the scheme. So they're trying to make it as easy as possible possible to blend in the SA requirements in terms of energy upgrade and also the financial requirements around a loan type product.
Okay, well look, let's level with people now. If you decide you're going to go down the one-stop shop route, how long is it going to take from sitting there and deciding you're going to do it to having the work done?
It's hard to give a specific timeline, but you're probably talking about 6-8 weeks typically. But by the time
is that all really?
Well, no, we had a lot of delays when things started first because we only had one-stop shop. We now have 20 one-stop shops, and what's happening now is, and you think about this, you're doing potentially up to 50,000-60,000 euros worth of work in your house. That's a significant amount of work, so they have to program that in. So, for example, the measure that has the longest lead time is windows. So, if you're going to go and get windows and you're committed to a contract, they will go and order the windows right away, and they'll stack up the pieces so that make sure that it's as minimum disruption as possible at the home. So the actual doing of the works doesn't take that very long to do. As Brian said, a heating system could take 2-3 days. The external wall insulation takes a bit longer. It's a much more involved process, but then you're waiting on windows. So it's not as long as it was because we had, as you can imagine, after COVID, we had a massive burst of people coming forward. We now have 20 one-stop shops around the country and they're really getting going.
Okay, so who is doing the quality control then on that work when it's done?
That's sent to the contractor, but we do inspections. We have inspections across all our programmes as well to make sure that they're compliant with the building regulations and our regulations.
Are they random inspections or are they happening as a matter of course?
They would typically be random inspections, but they're fairly targeted as well, looking at who's performing well, who's passing a lot of inspections and who's having more difficulty. And when the inspection happens, there's a list of reworks for measures aren't up to the requirement standards that we require, then have to go back and fix them off.
It's the one-stop shop contractor who is assessing the BER rating after the work is done. Is that how it works?
No, that's the BER assessor has to be independent of the work.
Okay.
So they're independent completely.
And you need that assessment before the grant is paid down?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, let's come to some of our listener questions. We have a lot of them. So this one, I live in a 19th century Victorian red brick house in Dublin. The materials approved for use under the one-stop shop programme are not suitable for houses that need breathable materials. When will there be a scheme for traditionally built homes and how can the cost be minimised? We've been quoted costs of 150,000 for deep retrofitting the house. The payback period for such an investment is extremely lengthy and it makes the retrofitting uneconomical. That's from Katrina. Would you like to say that one, Brian?
Yep, that would qualify the traditional building. So most houses in the country that are built pre-1945 would be considered traditional buildings. Now, what that means in real terms is that there are different constructions to the houses we see, like with cavity walls or hollow block walls, and the need to be more breathable materials. So one of the big things we have is, or the part of the building regulations, the materials that we use have been called proper materials. So how we demonstrate that is compliance to that part of the building regulations through NSAI certification for the materials. The problem there is that the materials that are certified aren't suitable for traditional buildings, and the materials that are suitable for traditional buildings aren't certified.
Okay.
So we have we're engaging with Department of Housing and the other stakeholders to see how do we demonstrate compliance to the building regulations through an alternative means in the absence of certification.
So there is a problem with these older homes then?
It's just the materials that they use. The materials are there, but we're just trying to find a way to demonstrate compliance with building regulations to allow us to provide grant support. So we're in the mechanism of trying to find a way that we can provide
support. What about Katrina's point that spending 150,000, right, all fine and well if she has it, but it's going to take too long to see that return coming back in the savings?
Just on that particular one, Brian's talking about the technical side of it. It's one of the things we're looking at================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ retrofit to those types of home at scale. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing those, can you get it right and you can deliver at scale? And that's why we're being a bit cautious about the materials, that when you get it right, you do a pilot program and then you roll it out at mass scale. That typically brings costs down. What you're also doing is you're bringing up skills in the industry as well. So the kind of skills required for maybe a traditional home, you may need more conservation architect type skills and things like that. They're not hugely available at the moment, but when you start developing a wider scheme that brings more people into that net, there will be more skills and you find cost then come.
So this is a problem Katrina has identified that hasn't been solved yet, but you're telling me that you're working on it.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is a fairly lengthy one, but let's do it. I live in a 32 unit apartment block in Newport in County Mayo on four levels. There's a central services duct running from the roof to the electrical and meter room on the ground floor. We've plenty of room for batteries and any other equipment positioning. We've a lift, we've a small number of night storage heaters for common areas, a large number of lights, interior and exterior, they remain on all night. We spend in excess of €10,000 in electrical energy each year. Light, heating and cooking in the individual apartments is electrical. That's paid by each individual owner. The companies I've already approached are not interested in surveying our building. They don't work on apartment blocks. It's too problematic. So this person person has outlined their issue and they have some questions. Why are the energy consultants and installers reluctant to engage with apartment blocks? There's a huge market in this sector. That one first?
Yeah, okay. That's a fair question. We don't know who the consultants she went look for are, but as a general level, sometimes apartment blocks can be complex beasts because you have owner management structures, you have mixed tenure, mixed use, the age of it, where it comes from, things like that. As it happens, I think I actually specifically know the one in Newport and Mayo, and I think I have an idea exactly where it is. So what I'd be advising the listener to do is to look on our website and look at the energy partners or on the community energy grant scheme. And some of those guys have much more expertise in looking at apartment blocks and energy related projects. I think possibly you might find that other companies that don't have as much experience just might shy away from it.
Okay, well, and this person wants to know what grants are available for apartment blocks.
Well, on apartments themselves, all of the grants that are available in the One Stop Shop and the Better Energy Home Scheme are available for apartments, and we do work with owner management companies. So on our Better Energy Home Scheme, which is the individual grants, we say, look, if there is an owner management company, to contact us directly and we look at the dynamics of a particular project. And on the Community Energy Grant Scheme, we have done pilot projects with full apartment blocks. But again, the issue, and it's kind of, it's right across Europe actually, is that kind of tragedy of the commons type scenario, that where you have a mixed ownership type apartment block, so you might own yours, I might own mine, they might be rented, somebody else might be a local authority tenant, it's hard to get consistency. And then when you get in behind that on the owner management companies, they're not all the same either. So, but where you have that consistency on a good strong owner management company, it is possible to do apartment blocks.
Okay, well, they have an owner management company, so you're saying that there might be a solution for them.
Oh, I think so.
Okay, and worth them checking that out again.
Absolutely.
So this one from Galway, are solar panels safe and efficient on a mid-terrace, flat-roofed house in a very windy coastal location in Galway? Brian, do you have the answer for that one?
They should be. They usually do wind loading calculations before installing solar panels anyway. So it depends on the site itself, but they're in principle, there's no issue with putting them on, because usually they put them on a frame to slant them so they can aim it towards the sun.
Okay.
But there shouldn't be an issue. Like, it depends on the wind and site, but yeah, that's...
The installer, though, would look at all of that for them. The previous question mentioned batteries. Do you recommend, if people are getting solar panels in, that they have a battery component now? Is that standard or is that a choice still?
It would be more of a choice before the clean energy or clean export guarantee that came in, where you pay for what you export, so people don't necessarily have to store it to get the value of it. So people now get paid for what they export back to the grid or what they don't use. It's still useful for some people in some scenarios where they can just basically store it and use it at a different time. But again, there's a kind of a cost benefit of that as well, like if it terms of the lifespan and how much you actually save. So I think typically people just have stopped using batteries in the short term because they're getting paid for what they don't use anyway.
And how long can you store the energy for then, if you're storing it for your own use?
Well, people would typically use it within 24 hours anyway.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a bit of a drop-off as some of it leaks out over time, but people would typically use it within a matter of hours anyway, so they might store it if they're out of work or wherever during the day.
So it's still a choice for people, but many people aren't doing it because they don't need to. They can sell the energy back straight away. Okay, Una has recently moved into a 1980 semi-detached house. I need to make some upgrades. Boiler, windows, radiators, all of the originals are there and they're not efficient. Where does she start? Isn't that a great question? I'd say there's a lot of people who would echo that. Where does she start?
I think I put her onto our website for starts and assess. The first thing we always do is assess, just figure out where you're at. On the website, you'll get a list of people who can do a home energy assessment, and they'll come in and do the full technical review of your home, where you're at, where you might want to get to in terms of your energy upgrades, and what are the best pathways to get there.
So you have and you have to pay for that yourself.
You have to pay for that, and it's grant aided as well. They can get a BER, they can get a pre-BER, which slightly step down from the home energy assessment, slightly it's lower cost, and there's an advisory report. But the technical assessment, the home energy assessment, gives you real technical detail of exactly your home. The advisory report is kind of more general in nature, but the assess part of it, so she knows she wants to do something, get onto the SEI website. There's lists of BER assessors and home energy assessors, and they will come and do the work for you. And even if you decide that, you know what, I can't do it all today or tomorrow, whatever it is, you have a roadmap for your home and you can pick off the bits as you see fit.
Yeah, at least you know then what needs to be done. Phil wants to know if there's a grant for changing your front door. It needs replacing, it's over 50 years old.
Sorry, Phil. So sorry to be the bearer of bad news. No, not an individual grant for changing your front door. There is, as part of the overall one-stop shop program, a grant for windows and doors, but that's part of the overall one-stop shop.
But then if you go back to the scheme we spoke about the last time you were in, that might be covered under the warmer
homes.
Under
the warmer home scheme, to me, yeah.
Okay, so Phil, might be worth checking out if you qualify for that. This one, could you ask why grants for windows and doors are not available except under the one-stop shop? So the same sort of question again. People can often only do one upgrade at a time. Windows and doors are the ones that they need to do. It's a fairly decent and relevant question.
Oh, yeah, and it's a very regular question because we love our windows and doors. And look, it's part of an overall whole of house fabric upgrade. So when you look at the engineering side of it, the energy efficiency of just putting in new windows, if your walls aren't up to standard, is minimised. So it'd be somewhat analogous to putting a Porsche engine into a Mini. If you don't do the walls and the windows at the same time, you're kind of losing out on that.
Yeah, but let's say your walls are efficient, your insulation is there, the windows are the problem, but you're not going to get a grand for that. It doesn't seem fair.
No, I hear that, and we hear that a lot. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But there is a kind of a, I suppose there's a aesthetic element to it as well. I put in there. So, but we look at it from the whole of house solution.
Okay, so it's not something that is being considered as being included.
Not as an individual measure at the present point in time.
Okay, now we have people texting us as we're talking, saying that there was a big difference between the initial estimate that they got for the work and the actual cost at the end. Are you coming across that, and can you explain why that might be happening?
Yeah, we've seen some of that on the one-stop shop scheme, and what's actually happening is a lot of, there's a kind of a piece between when you do your initial kind of pre-bur, and it is an initial estimate versus, for example, when you finally get to do the works, you get a technical calculation of what it's actually going to cost, including other things like, you might have seen the estimate, like scaffolding and skips and things like that. So it'll be a little bit analogous to getting an initial quote from an architect saying this is what it might cost, then when the builder comes in and says this is exactly what I'm going to do and this is exactly what it's going to cost. We had some feedback of that, particularly in 2022 when we launched the One-Stop Shop program. We went back to a lot of the providers where we've heard things like that, where it was really big, and we kind of understand that journey. And we're saying, look, we're all human, and what happens once you give a number, irrespective of what the number is, that's etched in people's heads. So if you said 10 and the answer is 15, people go, why wasn't it 10? So we're trying to say to them, look, once you give a homeowner a number, you want to be as close as you can to that final number, because to be fair to homeowners. So many of them have actually changed their customer journey, if you want to call it that, and they only give you the one number at the end.
Okay, and Brian, are you seeing particular areas where costs are increasing over the work being done?
It's sometimes when you get into a building and you start opening up like walls, it might be something a bit more tricky to do for even heating systems, where they might not have envisaged changing radiators or pipework, that kind of thing. That could potentially bring it up. But it's generally not, it's just an issue that when you really don't know the cost until you start opening up a building. But like Kieran said, they do try and aim it as close as they can, because there's an expectation there that that's what's going to cost.
That'll be a concern for people though, because you want to know fairly accurately where your number's going to be. And I know there's a risk no matter what sort of construction work you're doing, but particularly with this, because it can be a big outlay, certainly initially for people.
Just on the home energy assessment, which is a more detailed piece of work than the building and the pre-bur, they calculate your specific, the energy performance of your specific building, and when you do that through a one-stop shop, there's kind of three parts. Part one is a technical piece for the home. The second part of it is really to do with what the homeowner's preference is. So for example, if you have this or you don't want that measure, and the third part, that HEA then, is actually the costs from the one-stop shop. So that HEA is a much more accurate document.
This listener would like to know who has access to the low-cost loans. What are the rules around accessing that? Is that all up to the bank?
Yeah, no. So the application, well, so is the bank ultimately, they're funding it. But what happens is anybody can apply for the low cost loan. You must own the property. You get onto our website and also the SBCI. And what you have to do is get the home energy, the form from an end. So one of three groups of people that work through the SEAI contract. So your contractor must be an SEAI approved contractor. They'll turn up at your house, they'll do the form, and they'll say, this is what your pre-BER is, this is what you're planning to do. Let's say it's external wall insulation, and this is what the end performance of your home is going to be. So one of the criteria of the loan is there must be a minimum 20% improvement in the energy performance. So once you've got that, it's all on one page, you'll say, this is where it is, this is what we're going to do, and this is where it's going to land up. You can then go to the SBCI website. PTSB is the main provider at the moment. There's three more banks coming on board and seven more credit unions coming on board in the next couple of weeks, and then you'll go down to your loan provider and they'll go to the actual loan part of it with you.
Okay, but everybody is eligible once you follow those steps.
Well, there's a couple of excerpts out of that, but private holiday homes and short-term lets aren't, but small private lands, as we call, non-commercial landlords are eligible.
Okay, all right. Thanks for explaining that to us. Now, a couple of technical questions, Brian, which I'll come to you on. Back to the windows again. Is it effective or viable to either have old double glazed windows resealed or have new upgraded glass fitted to the old frames?
They can be improved. It depends how old they are, because sometimes the windows will just be old and they're kind of beyond saving. But like in a lot of cases, we'll see the windows aren't actually the issue. It's the ceiling around the windows that are allowing kind of air to get in and get past it. So yeah, I'd definitely get someone out to have a look at them.
You might be able to save the ones that you have.
Yeah, exactly. Because not every window that's a bit colder, it needs to be replaced. And sometimes it's the glazing that can be replaced. You can replace the glazing unit itself. And sometimes it's just the seals around the glazing and the hinges that might need to be fixed.
Well, I have a listener here who has PVC windows for 27 years. Some of the glass units have steamed up and they want to know, should they replace the units or the windows?
Well, that one sounds like the seals are broken, so there's air getting in, so that's you get condensation in the inside of the glass. But at 27 years, they may potentially be getting towards end of life. But I definitely look at getting the seals replaced because you might get a few more years out of it.
Reckon they might be past their...
They're getting
their
there.
Prime.
They're getting
27.
There.
Okay. This question relates to solar panels for a listed building. Do you need to have planning permission for solar panels if the building is listed? Are there any restrictions or guidelines? What kind of panels or placement is needed for a listed building? So what's the situation around that?
I think the key point would be go to your local authority who manage the record for listed buildings, because listed buildings covers quite a wide range of buildings and areas and locations. And you'd be better off talking to your local authority about that.
Okay, but it is going to be more complicated for that person.
Potentially. But the solar panels themselves are the panels. There'd be no particular special ones for listed buildings. That's the technology is there. It's just where you might orientate it or put it on a building and how it might be done and where the building is and where it's facing to and things like that.
Okay. Kitty has an extension to the two-storey house that she has built in the 1960s and it's really cold. The main house is stone. It has thick walls. She got a quotation for external insulation, but I was told I wouldn't get a grant because I'm not doing the whole house, which I think is unnecessary because the main house is warm. So it's only the extension that she's worried about. She just wants any suggestions as to what she can do. She doesn't want internal insulation. It would make the place smaller and it's not an option.
Yeah, that'd be one. I mean, you could wrap part of the building, but then the heat just gravitates towards the colder. It gets out another way. So doing a partial insulation doesn't really work. And it kind of comes back to traditional buildings as well. Like when we get something up and running that we can facilitate support for traditional buildings, then you could have the older part of the house and the newer part of the house improve, because like half doing a house isn't really going to get any benefit.
But she says that the older part of the house is grand. It's warm.
I know, but the heat tends to move from hot to cold. So like by changing the dynamics of the house, it's going to move towards colder area anyway. And by moving towards less insulated walls, it's going to head out that way.
Right. So she's not going to get any grand help to fix
the
problem.
Not for a partial
solution.
Because it's not really, ultimately, it probably won't make a huge amount of benefit to her anyway, or very little benefit by just doing a partial solution.
What can she do?
I'd work it like, ultimately we need to buy some time before we can do traditional or upgrade traditional buildings, but even things like drafts, looking at drafts around windows and doors and getting something to look around that, those kind of areas to address those. I think that a lot of times when people are colder, it's because there's drafts coming in. It could be a suspended timber floor if it's built in the 60s and might be drafts coming in from underneath the floor. So there areas you can address quite easily and cheaply.
Okay, now on the traditional homes, I'm getting a lot of questions, people who have this issue, and I'm sure, Ciarán, you know in your own experience that it's a big problem. Is there a timeline on finding a solution for this?
That's a 10 marker, Claire.
Okay.
It's hard to put a specific timeline, only suffice to say that we're fully engaged in it. Brian and the team are fully engaged in it. I know our department are fully engaged in it. Late last year, they released the guidelines on how you might, the Department of Housing released the guidelines on traditional homes and things like that. So we've engaged as well very actively with the sector, because you're talking to the kind of conservation architects and the people who know stuff about all the technical pieces. So, and we're in the process, we developed up a pilot scheme. So what we want to be doing fairly quickly is rolling out a pilot scheme and testing the things in the marketplace. So I can't give a specific date, obviously, but we are pushing as hard as we can to get going in this, because we know it's a pent up demand there.
Going on what we've got here this morning, there's a lot of people in that situation who'd love to avail of the scheme. So they're there and they're waiting for you.
There are about 250,000 homes in the country that qualify as this. They can't get support through our schemes as they are. Not the full suite of supports, like they can still get roof insulation, that kind of thing done. But like Ciarán said, the issue is around the building regulations and demonstrating that they're proper materials.
Okay, well, so hopefully a solution will come along soon.
Yep.
And we'll have to get you back because we're out of time this morning. But as the same as the last time, Ciarán, we have so many messages coming in.
We'd like to come back.
Listen, we'll have you back for sure very soon. Ciarán O'Byrne and Brian McIntyre from SEAI, thank you both for coming in. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to have the latest from Waterford, because we had flash flooding in Waterford, which caused a number of ditches to collapse and roads blocked. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.